do. We want to listen to what God has to say to us, don't we? Yeah? We've been looking forward to this for ages because Maury's been on the program for a little while now. It's good to welcome you back, Maury. Father God, we pray that you will speak to our hearts through Maury's words, that you will be our inspiration, that you'll bless his lips and his thoughts. And Lord, just bless us now through his ministry for your glory's sake. Amen.
Amen. Apologies, I don't speak Aramaic. So it's up to you whether you want to remain silent or very silent. I don't mind heckling, but maybe leave it to the end. Can I thank you for the invitation? It's lovely to be here again and share with you and join in our passion for sharing the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our message this morning is one that I hope will encourage us. It's not going to be an easy message because it requires us to do something about it. And actually, when we read the scriptures, isn't that what we should be about, making a difference? I've come into the cold, really. You've been studying Acts, is that right? You're now at Acts 22. Well done. You've got this far. If I was to ask you what happened in Acts chapter 3, could you tell me? No, that was just rhetorical. Well, maybe you should be able to. But the Lord has laid a message on my heart for us as we gather. I don't say you, I say us. And it fits in with how we've prayed beforehand, what has been shared in our intercessions. Are we serious about wanting to bring change of the gospel of Jesus Christ to Bridgewater? Are we serious about it? Because I too believe God has a plan. I have been here 3 years. That plan is taking some time to unfold. But God's time is beyond our time. We don't need to really worry, but I believe that he wants us to join in with those things. So the YMCA event is brilliant. But really, we should be in unity. If we don't know about it, how can we pray for it? How can we join in? So I'm going back. I'm the pastor and the chaplain of the YMCA. So I will find out what's going on and bless it if it's of God and of his Spirit. Many of you will know, if you've known me over these 3 years, some of you won't know me. Sorry, my name's Murray, by the way, and I'm an Anglican. Forgive me. And one of my gifts, my gifts are about encouragement, enabling, and equipping. That's the role I have. I don't run a church. I support other churches in their ministry. But I make mistakes. Things don't go to plan. But my aim is always to proclaim Jesus Christ. I have many fingers in many pies, but it's always driven by Father God, Jesus the Son, and the power of the Holy Spirit. This is just to give you a picture and an idea of who I am, where I come from. But when we read Acts 22, and we've just had a little snippet, I am humbled. I'm humbled because you see the Apostle Paul facing what it's really like to bring change and transformation to Jerusalem and to the Romans and the people who are listening. And it's a message for us. Do we truly want to bring about change? Think about the people you know who've brought change and transformation. Let me read a few names you can add to the list. Billy Graham, J. John, the Whitfields, Booths. Where are the women, you're saying? Corrie ten Boom, Jackie Pullinger, Wesley's mum. Know her story? I love her story. She wanted to pray. She had many children. She'd put her apron over her head. And they would know, don't disturb mum. Don't know about you guys. When I'm praying with my wife at home or praying, don't you always get interrupted? I've never tried the apron on the head method, but maybe I should. These are people who've got it. They understand what it means to bring transformation and change by the power of God through his Holy Spirit. And the Apostle Paul gives us a few top tips how we can play our part. And I don't know what your custom is, but at the end of this, If you feel you want prayer ministry and actually want change, then I'd like to offer that, and maybe your leadership team offer that as well. I don't know. I don't tread on toes. But if that's you, then we want to pray for you, because we all need it. You see, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is a problem to many, many people because he doesn't actually use plain language half the time. You know, and I'm in the front of the queue when I get to glory. I've got a number of questions. Why couldn't you just say it as it is and so we could understand? If you read his letters. But I think he's a man of integrity. I came across this quote this week by Brené Brown. Integrity is choosing courage over comfort, choosing what is right over what is fun, fast, or easy, and choosing to practice our values rather than simply professing them. I say to all the churches I work with, what are your values? And they give me this long list, and I said, show me. Values are only as good as what we do. They're not values otherwise. They're just words. Paul lived the values of the gospel. And we see it right here. Let's delve into the passage. A refresher. You'll know this. You've studied Acts. But Paul has entered Jerusalem. He's had this time of purification. And the 7 days are nearly up. But there's some troublemakers. They're stirring up trouble because they don't like what they see. Please note, if you're doing stuff for the kingdom of God, there will always be trouble around the corner. That is scary, but there always will be. But by the grace and strength of God, we can persevere, you'll find out. They wrongly stirred up trouble. They seized Paul and they said, let's kill him. It wasn't half-hearted stuff. They had him in their grips. They're about to murder him. He was being beaten. And the Roman soldiers, I find this incredible, Roman soldiers came in and saved him. They didn't know at that point he was actually a Roman citizen. But they saw something wasn't quite right. So they stepped in and they saved him. But he was arrested. He was still bound and put in chains. He was verbally abused. There was such a riot going on that the soldiers had to lift him up. I don't know about you. Have you ever been lifted up by people? It's not a comfortable. It's a humiliating. It is awkward, especially when you're chained and you can't bend. They lifted him up. Such was the violence. They even accused him of being an Egyptian. Why that was bad, you can answer that one. But the amazing thing is, at this point, God opened a doorway and he was given a chance to speak. Amongst this riot, amongst the arrests, amongst the beatings, he was given a platform. And I want to share 5 things, beginning with the letter T, so you can remember them, that will help us in our journey when we want to profess Jesus Christ. And if I go on too long, you will shout at me, won't you, Stephen? The first thing we've heard already. Testimony. Testimony is powerful. Stephen said it. You see, Paul, when he spoke, stood up, he told them the story of his transformation, his journey in encountering the living Lord Jesus Christ. I noticed in the prayer room, one of the questions on the board, why isn't Jesus still alive? Well, he is. He's living. You know, that's a great question. If you've ever want to tax your brain on a Sunday morning, just sitting there, it's very hard to pray when you're trying to answer all those questions. But on the road to Damascus, the Apostle Paul had a real encounter with Jesus, and he never forgot it. Most of us here will have had an encounter with the living Lord Jesus, but have we forgotten it? Can I encourage you, don't. Go back to it, study it, relive it, rethink it. Our stories are so important. Can I just reiterate that? Our stories are crucial to bringing change and transformation because through the power of God, he will use them. It's the before. What were we like before? It's the event when we encountered Jesus, and then it's the change afterwards. And some of you are saying, but I've been a Christian all my life. I didn't have this wonderful encounter. But you've met Jesus. There will be a change. I was fortunate that I came to know the living Lord Jesus on the 10th of August, 1982. And my life turned around at that moment. I haven't got time to tell you that story. But my wife's story is that she's always had that journey. It wasn't that date. She can't pinpoint it, but it's a journey. But she knows she's encountered Jesus and her life's changed. We will be on that spectrum somewhere, but a difference will have been made because we met Jesus Christ. I hear some of you thinking, but my story is so boring. Can I say your story is not boring? I don't know as a church whether you've done this or do this, but do you practice the chance to share your story with other people? I'm not going to get you to do it now. We haven't got time. I run a course for the Anglicans, but I'm sure I could wheel it out here if you wanted it, of how we can learn to write our stories and how we can share it in the public space. Do never underestimate that story. The Apostle Paul started by telling his story. Can I encourage you as a church? Know your stories. Encourage one another. Maybe every Sunday have someone tell their story. It brings transformation because you never know. I might have told you this last time I came, but it's so long ago that you've probably forgotten. Be prepared. I was on a run, a 5-mile run, and a mate I've been praying for 5 or 6 years suddenly turned to me and said, "So why are you a Christian? You know, you try telling someone why you're a Christian while you're running for 5 miles. It's not easy, but I knew it. I know my story. I can say it in 1 minute, 5 minutes, 20 minutes. We've got to know our story. The next thing we see from the Apostle Paul here is the second T is toughness. It is so easy just to give up, isn't it? If I was in Paul's position, I would have done a runner. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to face the persecution. And you read this story, and we could just read it, and we forget what he's really going through. This is a real human being facing real torture, facing real verbal abuse, real pain, and it's not easy. Despite the flak and beating offense, Paul keeps on going. He is one tough cookie. You know, he is one tough cookie. There are reports in the press at the moment, and there's a report that's just come out by Jay John that if you'd like, I can send via your team, that there are some high-profile Christians actually turning their back on their beliefs because it's too hard. And they're compromising. Now, he's written an article giving you 10 top tips of how not to do that. I'm not going through them. Don't worry. But we know it's hard. We know it's hard. We've got to be tough. You know, when Jesus said, take up your cross daily, he said, are you prepared to give up your life? When he said, you must hate your mother and your brother and your sister, he was saying, are you going to put me first? That will bring transformation when we're walking the streets of Bridgewater, our homes, our neighbors, our workplaces. It will make a difference because God will work through it. But we need to be tough and keep on going. We are not alone as we do so. The Spirit of God is within us. And to keep on going, I just turn back to Hebrews 12. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Keep on going. I was about to sing Billy Ocean then when I can't even remember it now. When the going gets tough, the tough gets going. Paul kept on going, didn't he? What else do we see? The third T is truth. Testimony, toughness, truth. See, when Paul speaks, there is no compromise. I love that about him. He tells you how it is. And it can be pretty uncomfortable, can't it? But God's right there in the middle. He tells them truth about his own life. He tells them about the truth of God. In your Sunday school this morning, you probably know this. They're talking about hell and how to avoid it. What a great message. I don't know many Sunday schools in where I work who would have the courage to talk about that. Because there is heaven and hell. I believe that wholeheartedly. Now, how we define that and what it looks like, well, we can have big debates. But there is a separation from God, which is hell. You know, it's the truth. People need to hear the truth. So in the middle of his flogging, you know, he was speaking the truth, and through that they realized he was a Roman, which gave him an open door. He didn't start there, look at me, I'm a Roman. It just came out by his speaking, and it just continued to open the next step of the journey. You see, this truth that we have to live can be seen in his speech of defense here. You see, as he speaks, yes, his message was considered and thought through. His message connected with his listeners. It was climactic. There was an awesomeness because God was in the middle of it. There was a chance for change and confession. He didn't want people to be left hanging. He gave them a hope in this message. And you'll see this. I don't know. I've been studying the great narratives of Peter, of Stephen, of Paul, as they proclaim the gospel. The thing they have in common is that they proclaim the truth about Jesus Christ. And we must be doing that when we are standing in public or from the pulpit, wherever we are. The one thing you notice is missing from all of those great in Acts. You'll know this, you've studied Acts, so you've done this. But the thing you'll notice, he never stands up. They never stand up and say, God is love. Did you notice that when you've studied? Never stand up and say, God is love. God is love. We know that. Scripture say it. But that's not part of the message. The message is that you turn to Christ and your life is transformed and brings transformation in all forms. You'll know the God of love. He'll be by your side. He'll be in you and with you. But it's deeper. It's a hard message, but it's a truthful message. And within the subtext here, what I like and what I've seen, you see, you've got the Jewish authorities on one hand that are really vilifying Paul and wanting him dead. You've got the Romans on the other side who are actually a bit confused. In the middle is the Apostle Paul speaking truth. And he's speaking to both the religious and the world. But in the middle is a faithful man of God. And we stand in that gap because we have the hope. We have the hope. Testimony, toughness, truth, trust. I am coming into land, don't worry. How can a man take on so much? Well, trust. I'm reading through the scriptures at the moment about journeys. And the thing that's common about the journeys in the Bible is that every time God asks people to move, they have to trust him because they don't always know where they're going. You look the journeys up, they're not quite sure. And actually, when they're on the journey, God may say, actually, I want you to go here. I want you to go there. But they trust God for that stepping stone. You see it with Abraham. You see it with Jacob. You see it right through the scriptures. Trust. Because God will never fail us. And Paul knows that. To me, I'd feel as though I was failing if I was being beaten in this story. But actually, no, he knows he's of God because it's what God wanted. He wanted him in Jerusalem at that time, in that place. He was the right person doing the right thing. And the opportunity opened for him to share. When we pray, are we truly listening to where God wants to take us? Are we trusting? So I believe in that trust, he gives a peace. When I moved from Oxford to Bridgewater, I shared this last time. Lots of people asked me why. You've got lovely Oxford. And you've got Bridgewater, which I do honestly think is lovely. I really do. I love being here. But if you don't live here and know it, When you come from Oxford, there's a difference, isn't there? There is an Oxford. Why? Well, right through that journey, he said, why are you leaving your church? It was growing. It was full of young people. It was full of the gospel. Why are you leaving? Well, God has called, and I had complete faith. It was the right thing at the right time for myself. The only difficult thing, I'll be honest with you, was moving my children. But as my wife reminded me, if it's right for us, it'll be right for them. And I can give testimony, it hasn't been easy, but it is right for them. It's been right. Trust. On to the last fifth. It's about task. It's about that listening. Are we doing what God really wants us to do? Because we're all different in this room. We all have different skills. We all have different abilities. Now, Paul was an amazing speaker. Well, I'm not sure if he was an amazing speaker, but God used him in that process. He was faithful. Are we faithful in the task God has given us? You will know, as I know, that every Christian has a purpose. The purpose is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The second command of Jesus is to go into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And don't forget the next bit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And what does it say after that? And lo, I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Matthew 28:20. That's all we have to do as Christians. But that's easy. That's basically change the world. But each of us will also have our places where we work, where our families are, the situations we're about, our neighbors, our streets, our homes. And God may call us to a specific, particular purpose and task. Are we aware of what that might be on any particular moment? Are we prepared? Are we listening? And are we obedient to what that task is? We need to listen to our Lord Almighty. He has a purpose. We need to listen to one another who may encourage us and support us. You see, I know my call is to Bridgewater at this moment. I don't know the outcomes, but I really long for the fruit of ministry, which is transformation of lives and people coming to know Jesus Christ. Every review I have, I say I want to see more people knowing Jesus because he is the only way. And as churches, as this church, as churches together, that should be our common mission. We can bring change. Paul was clear, and he's given us an example here of how we can do it as individuals and as a church. I've called these the 5 T's of hope for our world or nation. And are we willing to take on that challenge? If you can remember the T's. I was going to ask you to repeat them now, but I'll try and remember them myself. Testimony, toughness, trust, truth. Thank you, I missed truth. Truth, trust, task. Well done. You know more than I do. I should write them down at the end. That was deliberate, by the way. As I finish, I came across this quote. Regret looks back, fear looks around, worry looks in, but faith looks upwards. Paul was a man of faith. And I pray that as we journey forward, we will be people of faith, looking always upwards. And whatever we do, we give God the glory for it. Let me pray. And then I'll hand over to Stephen and see where we go with that. Father God, I thank you for your words. I thank you that the Apostle Paul was willing to stand up for truth. That he shared his story. He told the truth. He never compromised. He persevered with his task. And I pray for us that we too may do the same. In the name of Jesus Christ and for his glory always. Amen.